G'day trendsetters, welcome to episode 746 of the Trendsmove podcast. My name is Tim Egg, and if you have a question for the show, jump on through to the website, trainsmooth.com, or send me through an email, tim@trainsmooth.com. Now, did you guys watch the T100 as it's now been rebranded, the PTO event in Miami? I did. I'm two minds of it all. I don't complain about it, but I wonder how financially viable the PTO is. Are we going to see it in 10 years? That completely to the side. I know they've got big ambitious goals. And they're saying they want to make this mainstream and have people, you know, make it mainstream and have people, you know, flicking through their TV, which I can't remember the last time I ever flicked through a TV to see what's on. I don't know if people do that anymore. I think time's kind of changed. I just don't think that happens. But it was wildly underwhelming. And I'm hearing all these people talk about, oh, it's their first one. Well, no, it's not their first one. We've had a fair few PTO events. They should be sharpening up their stuff by now. But I like it. I just think they're still not doing a lot of the basic stuff right. Am I going to keep watching it? Hell yeah. But if they're talking about mainstream, I don't think that product is going to be within cooey distance of hitting their targeted audience. From what I saw, it's tailored for people like myself who are into the sport, who knows all the athletes, who follow all the athletes, who are looking forward to the racing. Now, the racing was great. It lacked atmosphere. It was done on a horrible-looking course. But I liked the racing. I'm sounding negative, and I am negative, but... that was purely designed for me. Television, kind of. I generally turn the volume down. I've heard the commentary is really, really good, but I didn't listen to the commentary. I always turn the volume down. I generally ride or run on the treadmill or whatever to that, or lift weights to it, and I have my music playing. So cycling, for instance, does a really, really good job of informing me with what's going on in the peloton, the chase groups, the leader, the rapetto. They do a really good job without me listening to a single word they're saying. I've got music blaring, I'm watching pro cycling, and I watch a lot of pro cycling, and I know who everyone is, where everyone is, what everyone's doing. That's the chase package, and I just know they couldn't do that really for me. But I'm happy. I'm happy as a person that, from my point of view. But my parents are never going to be tuning in to watch that. Three people up the road aren't going to be tuning in to watch that. Even on that remote chance they're flicking through the telly, which I still don't think people flick through tellies anymore. I just don't think that's what their target. I think they missed it. It would be my thing, but from my point of view, I'm very happy. if they just came out and said, you know, would love for every person to watch it, but if we can just make every person that's into triathlon watch this, I think they did a very, 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 very good job. I'd give that a 9 out of 10. Then if they're trying to make it mainstream, it would have to be closer to 2 out of 10. But anyway, on with the show. Today's questions. Sorry, I'm just bringing it up now. Today's question comes from Nikita, who I coach, which makes him super cool. And you too could be super cool by sending your questions through to tim@trainsmith.com. Now, Nikita writes, he's writing about running shoes. So the main things are the new running shoes. How can it affect running experiences at first use, usual pains and discomforts? How to choose the right drop? I am quite new to running. I have already run 2 marathons. I love trail running, but I struggle buying new shoes. When do you buy it? Does it have running resources? What if I run 700 plus kilometers in the same shoes, but they still look good? He runs with he has hollow feet and runs with Foot Balance inner soles. I'm just making this a little bit shorter. What am I choosing? What if I choose to buy? I'm struggling to choose the drop. Should it be 4, 5, 8, 10, 12 millimeters? I have no idea. My shoes, he talks about his current shoes, past shoes. Currently loving trail running shoes. I do require GTX. I often use trail running shoes in winter trails and forest running, often wet. Yeah, it snows a lot during winter and icy ground, so he needs to keep that in mind. He's thinking about the Hoka Speed Goat 5, Nike Pegasus 39. So my theory on running shoes is these are all really good questions, and I think a lot of people don't buy shoes properly for them, and I don't think people really think too much about running shoes deeply, and there's so much into it. And I was trying to have this conversation with a person probably a couple of months ago. I was getting a lot of messages on Facebook Messenger, and I'm thinking of buying the Bondi New York, the Hoka. I think the Hoka's Bondi's, and then or should I get some other brand, the model? And I go, well, that depends greatly on how you run, how you place your foot. And I go, what? And I went through a couple of scenarios, and she wrote back, well, what's wrong with the Bondi's? And nothing if they a fit for you. And it took me, we're on this like merry-go-round conversation I'm trying to explain to her on foot landing and stuff. So I'll break it all down. The good news is there's so many different types of shoes out there, and because there's so many different type of feet out there, and there's so many different type of run techniques out there, and there's so many different types of demands that we require. So for instance, your average runner, triathlete, endurance runner, would generally have 3, possibly even 4 different types of running shoes that they cycle through. Generally, you'll have one that would do most of your normal run sessions in. Through, let's call it, you have 1 to 2 key run sessions in the week, and maybe some, you know, key to, let's say you do 4 run sessions a week. Your average person, you do 4 run sessions a week. Let's say you're doing 1, possibly 2 key run sessions a week, 1 easy run and 1 long run a week. Let's call it that. Now, you're training to do, you know, whether you're doing a half Ironman or a marathon or whatever it is. You also got to run race. So let's say you're going to have racing running shoes with beautiful, you know, active foam and carbon plate super shoes, or if you want to call them that. So you're going to have race shoes for one. Number one, the second pair, you're probably going to have a softer shoes that's going to reduce the force, the the force of your land within the running steps. Generally for your run, for your long run, and possibly even your easy run, you'll use those. So an example of this would be Nike Invincibles. They're just super soft. They're not the most structured bit of running shoe you'll ever feel, but they're nice and soft for long runs, easy runs, because it just takes away that peak force within each running step, so you're not beaten up anywhere near as much at the end of each long run. Wouldn't do all your runs in something like that unless you're very, very injury prone or you're coming back from an injury. And then your weekday or your main key session type of run shoe would be a little bit more firmer, a lot more, you know, a bit of a less drop or so into it, and they're just comfortable. Now, what you want to do is where you're trying these shoes on, it's impossible to pick a shoe online, unfortunately. And I say it unfortunately because it's significantly cheaper generally buying all your shoes online than it is at your local shop. I wish it wasn't like that. I like to support my local shops. Some shoes I'd buy from my local shop, but it just doesn't financially make sense. But for example, you mentioned the Nike Pegasus. They may be absolutely perfect for you, but they may not be too. So what you want to do is you want to try your shoes on at a place that allows you to run on a treadmill at ideally. And what you want to do is go there with someone, like your partner, friend, or whatever, or at the very least get the shop assistant to hold your phone, film you running. So you jump on the treadmill, you run 30 seconds, whatever, just and you want to them to video your foot landing, nice close up, and you want to have a look at it and just to see how you're landing in that shoes. Are you severely rolling in? Are you rolling out? Are you, you know, doing something really weird? You think, right, well, that's it. A, it doesn't feel right. I'm rolling in severely. Let's pick another pair of shoes. And then you slowly work your way from that to get the shoes that are right for you. That's by far the best way. As in, what drops is going to be best. It really depends greatly on how you feel comfortable with them. I can't say it ever bothers me. I'm not exactly one that would go a minimalist shoe, but I'm also, you know, over the last, since 2020 to, you know, kind of up to 6 months ago, I guess I've been, well, I guess I still am on the list of being rather injury prone, so maybe. But I would go comfort first. Probably, you know, obviously the thicker, the softer, your longer runs, you probably would. So if you look at your the force that goes through your body, for instance, so if you were to walk 5 kilometers and then run 5 kilometers, the average force is about the same, but the peak force in running is significantly higher than what it is in walking, like significantly. So when we're talking that you're going for a 20 mile run, for example, you could be on your feet running for 3 hours. That's a lot of force going through that body, and so that's where the softer shoes come into play and allows you to finish that session without all the damage. As for distance, I'm paranoid with injury, so I always go, once they hit 600, 700 to tops, but generally 600, they get demoted, those shoes, and I don't no longer run in them. And if I was running in, you know, if it would be like 600 kilometers, and if I was may run in them for another 100, but only on trails, for example. But I've stopped doing that these days. But they just get turned into walking around shoes from that point on until the next pair are fully worn out. But I did have a mate recently who has taken up doing park runs on weekends, so 5K park runs, and maybe he will do an easy run, yeah, 15, 20 minutes through the week, one session, and that's kind of all he does. And I found out he's been running in these Kmart Dunlop running shoes that look like they, you know, 3,000 years old. And so I gave him a stack of my old running shoes, and I said, mate, they've all got, you know, I stopped wearing them at 600 Ks, and I gave him the good ones that I gave. You can easily put another 100 into these, each one of these pair of shoes, and then just throw them away or whatever you want to do with them. And he loves them. He found an instant, you know, you're like, whoa, these are significantly better than what he was using. But I do know people that will put well over 1,000 Ks into their shoes. I'm more paranoid than that, and I just once it hits around that 600 mark, I'm calling it all done and dusted. And as for they may still look good, especially if you're doing trails, you're running in snow, that sort of stuff, they probably will look good still, but the foam will have significant wear inside it. But it's obviously up to the person running in the shoes whether they want to replace them as often as it, especially when you're doing 40, 50, 60, 70. I did have an athlete, you know, run 100K weeks, and you go, right, I'm replacing these every 6 weeks, really? That adds up real hard, real fast. But anyway, if you guys have any other questions, jump on through to the website, trainsmith.com. Until next episode, hooroo.